The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate however you're taking us in this morning. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy right here at the Shield table. You ever have a Shield table at your house before this?
No, I have not.
Now we have one. Maybe we take this to your house. Hey. Here at the D. It's massive. Look at that thing. Overhead shot. It's a Shield.
Yeah, this would look great in my entire living room. Like, it would. I don't even know if I'd have room for it there.
How do you get it in?
Right.
Yeah. Still to come this hour, Jonathan Davis. Let's do that hockey. We'll do that later. Jonathan Davis, great game last night between the Dallas Stars and the Edmonton Oilers. We'll talk East and West finals, that is, with Jonathan Davis from the Ice Cap on SiriusXM NHL coming up. We'll also talk to Jason Weingarten. First, though, instant offense, the microwave, Vinny Johnson, otherwise known as John Legace, everybody, from the Quirk Stats Podcast, MLB and NFL writer for The Athletic. Don't sleep on the NFL part. You can follow him at John Legace. That's L-A-G-H-E-Z-Z-A, Lagheza, on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Johnny?
Yo, Gil, I missed you, man. I've been out of commission since I spoke to you last. Feels so good to be back, everybody. Appreciate your health every day you have it. Man.
Well, even
out of voice.
Okay.
My wife ran out of, oh, it's so quiet jokes. Like, the first couple of days, it's funny. And then after 3 weeks, people are just like, my kids are like, Dad, could you scream about something? I sounded like the dog. Yeah, I sounded like the dog from Grown Ups. Like, wah.
Was the doctor like, you've been diagnosed with too much enthusiasm? Maybe pipe it down a little bit?
He's like, I've seen your show and you've used all your voice. Like,
yeah.
You've used up your reserves.
No, I'm obviously joking. When you said man, it made it sound pretty serious. You okay?
No, everything is good. Everything checked out. It was an infection that was close to my vocal cords.
Oh, man.
That, again, I felt okay, but I couldn't talk, and me without talking was just... I don't know, man. It was something.
I can see. I can see Legace exploding if he can't talk. Like, what am I gonna do? How do I live?
Oh yeah. My gosh, I can't write that fast.
Well, I'm glad you're doing better. I mean, you know, there's been some famous like musical artists who had like polyp scares. Whitney Houston yep. did. Lionel Richie did for some portion yep. of his career, and you know, it threatens everything, right? So.
And then if you're worried it's you're actually sick, yeah, of course. Come on, let's do some real stuff. I'll meet you at the cashier window. Come on, let's get it.
All right. Let me just ask you before we get to your place, because you have a couple plays today. I have this Guardians bet for this month, like I did last month. Last month it ended in horrifically sick fashion. For the most wins in March and April. They're playing great in May again, but the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Yankees are just refusing to lose baseball games. The Philadelphia yeah. Phillies in the month of May are, wait for it, 17-3. 17-3. Now, I know the competition is not good, but that's part of the handicap of this bet. That is for everybody. So if you're on the Phillies, good on you. They're 17-3 plus 67 along the way this month in run differential.
Crazy,
by the way, also 5-2 in one run games. I mean, when you have Wheeler and Suarez and Nola as your starters, and then you just have a lineup that won't quit. Yankees, yeah. by the way, a paltry 16-5 right behind them, right? let me just ask you from, you know, beyond this month and for the rest of the season, are we looking at multiple 100 win teams?
Yeah, I think so. And it's a testament to how good both those teams have been. Remember, what separates them really at the end of the day is the bullpens, in my opinion. Because that's what is the wheat and the chaff in the big leagues, not being able to get those critical outs at the end of games, which the Phillies have done, which has been historically a problem for them. They also hit on a lot of young players, and that's key, right? Alec Baum, Bryson yeah. Stott, guys that maybe the everyday viewer doesn't necessarily know, but are kind of pushing their way to the fore. It's kind of amazing that a lot of the damage you're talking about was without Castellanos and without Bryce Harper, right? Alec Baum is playing like an MVP candidate, at least. So whenever we're dealing with big outliers, I think regression to the mean is probably the best bet. But we've seen such this kind of binary separation in the league, teams that are really, really good and teams that are really, really bad, that, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with multiple 100 winners, especially that they're in different leagues.
The The ever-increasing chasm between the haves and the have-nots. Been saying it for years now. It just keeps getting wider. What did you land on today?
All right, first one, man, this is going to sound crazy. I'm going to bet on Alek Manoah. He's back for the Blue Jays, not just because we, you know, share a similar husk. We've seen him excel at the highest level, and it's very easy to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater when last year was really rough. He went from 200 brilliant innings in 2022 to pitching in the California Penal League with Ricky Vaughn last year. Like, things were really rough for him. But at the same time, it was more than that. He had lost a mile an hour on the fastball. He mentioned some conditioning stuff with the pitch clock, and then we saw an adjustment in the pitch mix, all those things have been cleaned up for this year. That mile an hour is back on the fastball. They're throwing the changeup more and allowing him to induce whiffs with the slider. He's working on 14 scoreless night right now, and he looks exactly like the guy he did, right? He's attacking the zone. He's winning in the zone. He's suppressed hard contact. This is the pitcher that a lot of us thought we were going to kind of get out of the box last year before that massive disappointment. I mean, you could just go down the line, 30 CSW, 79 zone contact. He's keeping the ball down, suppressing hard contact. He's been great. They're facing the Tigers. So I've been keeping my bets this year, Gil, to F5, so I should have been clear. I like the Blue Jays. Give me the F5. You know, especially with a slight favorite like we have here, I got minus 115. I'll be honest. I don't know if it's the patience. I'm getting old. If I'm not winning after five, just give me my money back. I want to go do something else. Right, especially when you have a favorite in baseball, there's no need to ride the roller coaster up and down with these wonky bullpens for 2.5 hours, wasting your life. Yesterday, we did it with Pittsburgh. We hit on Skeens. We won. And for the people that had the Pirates ML, they spent 3 hours in a missing clumps of hair. So thanks, but no thanks. Give me F5 Toronto over the Tigers, who have Manning going, who, I don't know if he's wearing down. It's just been really kind of ugly. He's putting too many guys on base. The control has been really out of whack. The double-digit walk rate. He's not inducing chases. He's putting the ball in the air and getting barreled. And he's been getting just crushed in the zone. So Toronto offense has actually clicked up. I know I actually have a lot of Canadian fans, and I know they've been really upset hoping for this huge bounce back. I think it's starting right now. Toronto last 2 weeks, 350 PAs, top five offense versus righties, 800 OPS, number one in line drive rate, 350 team wOBA. So give me Toronto through five. I think the Manoah bounce back. He sits on the Tigers offense, which is also in a bit of a lull. So I think with the price, I don't think the markets have really caught up to Manoah quite yet.
Yeah, I'm just a couple things. One, I don't know if you caught that, Kelly, but Legesa and Alek Manoah share a similar husk.
I did catch that.
You should probably know about that. And the other thing, I'm looking at...
Square is a shape, Gil. Square is a shape.
First five records for the entire season, for those who might be curious. Toronto's 22-20-7. Detroit 17-22-11. By the way, because I have this Guardians bet, I'm well aware of teams' full game records in the month of May. The Tigers... They're 6-14 this month. They have not been good. The Mets are also 6-14. The only team worse than the Tigers and Mets in the month of May has been the Cincinnati Reds, 4-16. Oh. So first five bet on the Blue Jays. For Legesa, you also have another first five bet.
Yeah, although I'd like to just expand a touch on what you're saying.
Please.
Bullpen stats matter, people. Save yourself the aggravation and the money. The Tigers are a perfect example. If you want to bet on the Tigers, you bet on Jack Flaherty for the first five innings. Why are the Tigers so bad? Last 42 2/3, Gil. Bullpen has a 7 ERA. 7. You can't be giving up 1.25 runs every time you're out there, right? It's just unsustainable. So there's a way to get exposed to these teams.
Yeah, this was the point that Borchardt and I, we did our Q1 podcast in the Major League Baseball season. This was the point we were making about the White Sox. White Sox are the worst team in baseball. Yep. But in first fives, they're 18-25-8. Not good, but because they're dogs in so many of those, they are, at the time, they were a top 10 team in first fives. They're just outside of the top 10 right now. So you're right. There's different ways to play these teams.
Garrett Crochet is another perfect example. The market despises these bad teams. A lot of people make their bets based on the jersey, more or less. You could give me Garrett Crochet up against just about anybody, especially with the odds we're getting. Sometimes you get positive odds for Crochet, Gil, through five innings. You walk away with a tie. This guy's been absolutely unhittable. So, you know, a lot of times there's different ways to skin the cat without scratching his bottom, as my grandfather used to say. All right, the second play. Hot and heavy. Here comes another F5, another one near even money. I saw minus 110, but once I post my plays on Substack, you know, the market starts to shake a little bit. Give me the Royals. They're on the road, F5 against the Flatfish from Florida. Those pesky Rays. Got Seth Lugo on the bump. One, I want to give a quick hat tip to the Royals themselves, people remember. Yes, you know, we have such a hairy, fine eyeball on these games in small samples. We want to be thinking on the macro sometimes, right? Jump out of the trenches into the Zeppelin and get the wider, broad view. Kansas City Royals doing a lot of good work with turning other people's trash to treasure. Cole Reagans was on the Rangers as like a weird mixed usage guy. He's now an ace for the Royals. Seth Lugo was a weird mixed usage guy for the Mets. He's now an ace for the Royals. 1.79 ERA for Lugo, the sub-9 whip, OPS at 600. There's not anything he's not doing wrong. I especially love the control, 5% walk rate. He's getting ahead, limiting fouls, winning in the zone, keeping it down. Just about everything you could ask for. Tampa offense has also been pretty putrid against righty at home. Bottom five team. They're just striking out way too often. 26% K. That's the last 435 plate appearance against righties. Not nothing. Royals have also hit lefties all year. I think they're going to be facing it. I saw a mixed bag on the books between Armstrong, maybe Tyler Alexander. They're both kind of, I wouldn't call them junk balling lefties, but let's call them junk balling lefties. Royals have hit lefties well all year. You know, Bobby Witt, Nelson Velasquez, Sal Perez, those boys should get us at least a run or two we need against the Rays. Again, that's just been kind of flaccid on often. So Toronto F5 and KC F5. I think we get them both.
Skinning the cat without scratching the bottom. Johnny Legesa. I didn't hear anything
Miss
after that, John. Thank you. Miss you too, by the way, again. Toronto, he's on Toronto first five against Detroit. He's on Kansas City first five against the Tampa Bay Rays. John Legesa, everybody, at
my
John
boy.
Lagheza, if you want to do it phonetically on Twitter. Let's do that hockey. Jonathan Davis next, right here in a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, show presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. Find out more at Zyn.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Oh, by the way, check out our website as well, VSiN.com. Should always mention that. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. Kelly, I don't know if you know this, but on the VSiN.com homepage today.
Uh-oh, what's there?
WNBA best bets with Tyler Shoemaker.
Okay.
Johnny Lazarus on the NHL. Zachary Cohen's all over the French Open. French Open begins on Sunday. Cannot wait. Adam Burke with Baseball Daily. Steve Mackinnon with the top splits and trends in the NBA playoffs. All of that, VSiN.com. Check it out. I don't know if you watched the Stars and the Oilers last night. Game one of the Western Conference Finals in the NHL. Oilers went up 2-0. Tyler Seguin scored two goals, one with about 3:30 left in third period to eventually force overtime. And they go to overtime. The first overtime was pretty unbelievable. It was a double minor on Connor McDavid, so 4-minute penalty. The Oilers are able to kill it off. And then later in the first overtime, Connor McDavid has a point-blank, Connor McDavid, best player in hockey, right? Point-blank shot to get it by Ottinger into the net. And Hank Lundqvist did a great explanation of this afterwards. But he thinks, like, McDavid, like, hesitated for, like, a second and a half. And Lundqvist, of course, Hall of Fame goalie, he said it's because he thought that Ottinger's stick was still airborne. And so McDavid, the instinct for players is to wait for the stick to come down to the ice and then go over the stick.
Right.
Instead,
which makes sense.
I guess because that's the human instinct.
Gravity.
What's that?
Gravity. Stick's coming down.
Well, yes, but
you
the instinct.
Go over.
Okay, maybe you should interject. So basically when the stick came down, it was too late, and it immediately made contact, and it was an unbelievable save. The end of the story is then it go to a second overtime, and literally in the first minute, Connor McDavid makes amends, redirects, Oilers win.
It was awesome. I saw most of the overtime. I missed the game-tying goal, though, in the third period.
Sagan,
that was the part, and if you – Like the Stanley Cup playoffs are so good. And
they're so good.
It infuriates me, though, when you miss a goal where I'm like, wait, what happened? What happened? Well, the thing is, now we're in overtime.
Especially juxtaposed, you and I went the whole first segment talking about what were we watching in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA last night to help us along with hockey. Jonathan Davis is kind enough to hang out with us. He's the host of Ice Cap on Sirius XM NHL, host of Show Me the Money, a hockey betting podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at West Coast HKY. That's a cool way they say hockey. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jonathan, how you doing, man?
Good. Well, that's the Canadian spelling of hockey. Didn't you know that?
HKY, that's right. Of course, yes. The branding, yes. So this is the third consecutive home game one that the Stars have lost, correct? Obviously, it hasn't ultimately been a problem for them in the first two rounds. Do you think it might be here?
Well, it's not only the third consecutive home game, Gil. It's the seventh consecutive game one that they've lost. They've lost five of the last six games that have gone to overtime in game one. But I don't think it's problematic. I thought this was going to be a six game series at minimum. And for me, I don't care how you get there. And I just, you know, the more you talk to players, momentum doesn't go from game to game. It goes from shift to shift. So if you're still believing in Dallas, I would be grabbing the series price right now at Dallas at plus 160.
That was what I was going to ask you. We're showing plus 165 over at DraftKings. Always shop around for these, but the Stars down 1-0. I'll say it again. I've said it a million times, but I give credit to Stats by Lopez. You know, we're more familiar in this country. It's a bigger fan base for the NBA and best of sevens, and we know how that goes. 80% of favorites get through the NBA best of seven series, much of that because the first round is so top-heavy. For 80% of favorites to get through in hockey, you'd have to play a best of 51. That was the old Stats by Lopez stat. Like, there's the randomness of that. So even though some hockey handicappers can show you that home ice matters, the point is that there is a random nature to it. And so I guess I can't say at some point, if the Stars keep going down 1-0, you play with fire too much, it's going to burn you. But kind of not, I guess, here.
Well, look, first off, come playoff time, to me, I throw home ice out the window because in the regular season, guys, it matters. Teams, you're at home, you're getting a team on a back-to-back, you're getting on a team that's playing three games and four nights on the road. Come playoff time, we're both teams are on the same schedule. So, you know, no advantage anymore to me. And I'm not one that buys last change in hockey is a big advantage because teams right now are just far better constructed and far more talented. So I don't really think it's a big deal. I think Dallas, you know, I love Dallas at plus money on the road when this series shifts to Edmonton. So I don't really think it's much of a factor. But look, you know, Dallas found themselves down 2-0 to Vegas in round one and, you know, rallied and won that series. So, you know, it wasn't like they played a bad game in game number one, but they just, you know, they were on the wrong end of a bad bounce.
That's absolutely right. Okay, so you would advocate these Stars here at the adjusted series price. Plus 165 is what we're showing at DraftKings. Okay, let's go to tonight. Now, the game one in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Panthers and the Rangers, not nearly as exciting of a game as that one last night. Panthers won that first game 3-0 against the Rangers, take a 1-0 lead. Tonight, Rangers, the slightest of favorites, and I mean the slightest, I mean a couple pennies. Really, it's a coin flip tonight in Game 2. The Panthers are the series favorite. They're a $3 favorite right now on the adjusted price. You have several plays, a few plays in this game, starting with the side. Who do you like?
Well, I like the Rangers. One, you know, let's take the zigzag approach that many like to talk about in the NBA. And, you know, look, you know, Paul Maurice, the Florida Panthers coach, talked about the fact that, you know, he expects the Rangers' best game tonight in the series. They got pushed around in game one. And here's the other thing with Florida, guys. You know, they were the best road team in the regular season in the NHL. Now, the Rangers are just a slight favorite, but the Florida Panthers were only 3-9 as a road dog. I had them at 22-6 as a road favorite during the regular season. And when I checked the bet splits on VSiN before I came on, I saw that Florida was getting 34% bets, but only 18% of the money. So there lies why we're seeing that line move that, you know, Florida opened up at about minus 115. Now it's now Rangers at minus 112.
All right. So you're on the Rangers tonight. You also have a play on the total.
Yeah. You know, I'm going over 5.5, you know, coming into game one, The over was 18-1-1 between these two teams, and that one under hit 6 years ago, and the one push was on six. I just, you know, look, the Rangers' MO has been when they win, I think they're 42-1 when they score four goals or more. I know Sergei Bobrovsky has been very good. I just think we're going to get the Rangers' best game. I'm going to go back to the well one more time with the total going over.
With the total going over, the 5.5. Okay. And then a prop bet or two here. What do you got? Oh, no, you have a parlay, a prop parlay.
I do.
Wow.
We have a parlay because the numbers are very juicy if you play them individually. But Vincent Trocheck, over 2.5 shots on goal, and Sam Reinhart over 2.5 shots on goal. You can get that at about, I think it was like around -120, or maybe it was plus money. I can't remember off the top of my head. But Trocheck's 8 of 11 games have gone. He's had at least 3 shots. And for Reinhart, it's 11 of 12 games over 2.5 shots on goal. So I'll play those two guys in a parlay tonight with the prop play.
Okay. When we had you on before the finals, you said you thought Panthers and the Stars would go to the finals. I can't remember who you said you thought would win. Refresh my memory, if you would.
I said Dallas.
You said Dallas. Okay. So maybe you're not the guy for this question, but I'm looking at Conn Smythe. Who was your Conn Smythe pick then?
Well, I mean, for Dallas, I would go with their defenseman, Miro Heiskanen. He's a guy that never leaves the ice. He's been averaging over 28 minutes a night. He is first in time on ice for players still in the playoffs. He was number two heading into the conference final. The other guys in the top 10 are all out. He played over 29 minutes last night. He leads the Stars. I think he still may lead the Stars in points, or maybe he's tied right now. On the Florida side, you know, I think Sergei Bobrovsky, who I wasn't leaning to earlier, may be the way to go. He, I think, is at 9-1. And I think so. If you like Florida, you're going to get a better number on Bobrovsky. I like Sasha Barkov, their leading scorer, but there is a good, you know, the number is really good on Bobrovsky.
That's where I was going with that. You anticipated the pass because Bobrovsky right now at DraftKings is actually better than that. He's 11-1. And, you know, Conn Smythe goes to goalies fairly frequently. Vasilevsky won a few years back, right? So 11-1, if you are a Panthers backer, right, you got to be correlated on these things. But if you're a Panthers backer, that just seems like for a team that is more democratic, right, outside of goaltender, that might be the guy, 11-1.
Yeah, the offense has been pretty much spread out. Now, on the Rangers side, I know really quickly here, guys, Vincent Trocheck was the guy that I grabbed at 30-1. And if it's Edmonton, you know, it should be Leon Draisaitl for me. That, to me, no question, Leon Draisaitl is the guy to grab for Conn Smythe.
All right. Really appreciate it, Jonathan. Enjoy the games. Good luck on all the bets. Thanks for all of those tonight.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Jonathan Davis, once again, on the Rangers, on the over tonight, and on the Sam Reinhart, Vincent Trocheck parlay, both over 2.5 sogs, Kelly. You
the
love
sog
sogs.
Parlay, baby. Let's go.
By the way, I failed to mention on that 4-minute double minor, they hit two posts, the Stars, last night. Not shots on goal because they
That's
hit
right.
the posts.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today and we'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. Now I'm going to say the promo code very slowly. A-N-G.
Like a numbers game. Only $199? Wow!
It just caught you by surprise.
Get it now!
How many times have we read this? That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly was going down a Wheel of Fortune rabbit hole, so he just noticed his 199.
Just trying to bring renewed enthusiasm every time we do it, okay?
Kelly, remember, it's This Is the Best is the name of that puzzle. This Is the Best. Solve that puzzle.
So great.
Pat Sajak's reaction was great. He goes, no.
I love that there's one of those like every 6 months too. Like they are pretty frequent. You get an entertaining one like that.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is listen to this. Bill Hooker, Djokovic is getting waxed by Mahach, and then Sean Sheehan updates it. Novak just lost. Does that change your view on Roland Garros? By the way, Tomas Mahach in the semifinals in Geneva just beat Novak Djokovic 6-4, love 6-6-1. Took him down in the third set there.
Wow.
To answer your question, Sean, this is why I have the three, right? I have Carlitos, I have Novak, and Rude tied in with Iga. Rude happens to be in the same quarter by luck of the draw, literally, as Djokovic. And so I have Rude at 20-1 with Iga to win this. So, I mean, to answer your question directly, does it change my view on him? Slightly. I mean, it has to. It's because it's one of these things with him where he's not a tennis great. He's a tennis god. Like, it is hard to really express what he is in this sport. As I've said many times, Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, and Roger Federer are better at tennis than any of us are at anything. So when you see this happen to a player who is getting up in age, half of your brain is like, oh man, look, he lost. And remember, he lost to Tabilo. It could be ending. Like, that could be the dominance. It's over. You know? And then the other half, pardon me, the other half of your brain is, it's Novak Djokovic. I don't know if he just shows up and kills everybody.
Yeah, much like our upcoming guest says about other sports, if you're going to give me 3-1 on Novak Djokovic at the French Open, I'm still going to bet it. I'm still betting it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, let's bring in Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, because Jason makes all kinds of bets, and he has all kinds of reasoning for all kinds of bets. Jason, would you like to share with us your latest?
Yeah, so we were just talking about this right before during the commercial break, but a good friend of mine, a person who's been on gambling Twitter for a very long time, 10 years, saw him tweeting about USA cricket under 20 cricket, the Team USA versus Bangladesh. And he was saying 3-1 was a really big price on Team USA. And I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, sure. Team USA is 3-1 against Bangladesh. I'll bet that. What are we betting cricket? I'll bet Team USA 3-1. Against Bangladesh, anything. You know, I don't care what sport we're playing.
Anything.
But 3-1, come on. Team USA in anything? What are we doing here?
There's a lot of patriotism.
What was the result?
The show.
What happened?
They won. I don't know the score. I've only bet cricket a couple times, and it's the weirdest thing to bet for me because I can't tell what's going on and who's winning. I look at the live odds.
Can't even track the score. Like, yeah.
You just track the live odds and you're like, okay, like it's going down on the team I bet. That's good. You know, or, you know, I bet it 3-1. They're now 4-1. That's bad. You know, so I have no idea what's going on with cricket. Don't pretend like I do.
Well, and the final scores are always like 133-102 or something,
over
right?
Over the course of 4 days, USA took down Bangladesh.
I have no idea.
No, there's two types of cricket. There's cricket that takes a really long time. There's the day cricket, and then there's crickets that I feed my pet frogs.
Sure, we knew that. I was just testing you, Jason. By the way, do you know who, you know Dan Weston, my tennis guy, or was we know him as our tennis guy. Dan Weston is a massive cricket analytics guy. I got to introduce, Jason's not even interested in this, so I'm not going to introduce, but it's like, but if you were really serious about it, he's the guy. Like, he can't do the tennis pod anymore that we do because he's so wrapped up in cricket to the point that actual cricket, do you call them teams, by the way, they employ him because he's so far into it. So if you're ever there,
I have heard from the gambling and sports betting world stuff that cricket, especially on the Asian subcontinent, India, is a massive betting market. Just massive, massive betting market. You probably can't even comprehend the size of it.
That's your I was going to say, that's your pro tip of the day. USA versus Bangladesh and anything at 3-1. Bet it.
Final score yesterday was 144/6. For the U.S. against 138. So,
No slash on the 138?
No slash on the 138.
You got that, Jason? It's close, I think.
I still don't know what that means, but sounds great.
Me either.
Is the 6 the margin?
Oh, yes, that is what it is. Yeah, it says underneath it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Look at you. Look at the big brain on Gil.
Look at the big brain on me. What else more conventionally are you betting, Jason? Any baseball?
Baseball today, yeah, I got the Cubs minus 149. Miles Mikolas going for the Cardinals. He's kind of one of those guys I feel like I'm going to be betting against him every start now till he retires. But, yeah, I don't like him at all. Imanaga, I wish we had been, you know, on him more before the season, but you see the numbers he's putting up. That's
it's sick.
Pretty impressive.
Well, it's sick because when I was doing the Ranger Suarez thing the other day, where he's like, oh, he's the first pitcher since Juan Marichal to have 10 starts where you go 9-0 and your ERA is below 1.50. And then you look, is there anyone better than Suarez? And there's Imanaga. Imanaga is just sitting there. He's like, yeah, I'm below one.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but you got the four pitchers at the top of the NL Rookie of the Year market, and one of them might win. It might be the year, a pitcher finally wins, which is gonna just kind of be more insulting to Spencer Strider that he didn't win with the season he put up. But might be a pitcher this year.
Might be a pitcher for MVP. You're saying?
No, for Rookie of the Year.
Oh, for Rookie of the Year. Oh, gotcha.
Usually skews heavily towards position players, but you got the four pitchers in the NL. I don't know who it's going to be, but might be one of them.
Again, Shota Imanaga's ERA currently 0.84. I'm told that's good.
That's pretty good.
I'm told that's good. Okay. So repeat the bet again. What is the bet today? Cubs?
Cubs minus 149. I think probably good time to play it now.
Anything else?
Yeah, I got the Padres tonight. Laid minus 101 with Padres at home versus Carlos Rodon and the Yankees. Not a huge fan of Rodon right now. And there's another guy, Yu Darvish, putting up some pretty nice numbers for, you know, a guy we haven't heard much from lately.
Yeah, if I asked you right now, because Padres are 27-26, Giants are 25-26, Diamondbacks 24-26. If I say to you one of the NL wild cards, if not two, comes from there, who are they?
Padres for sure.
Padres for sure. Yeah.
They actually have, I think, the best road record in baseball. If I'm not mistaken, I was looking at this yesterday. They also have the worst home record in baseball, which is sort of unusual. I don't know how that happened. Probably just variance. But I looked at the Padres a little deeper because I was a little curious about this yesterday, and I was like, wow, yeah, they're actually a surprisingly decent team. You would expect the year after getting rid of Juan Soto, there'd be a precipitous drop off, but it's only been, you know, slight, if at all, especially when you look at what they're getting out of Jerks and Profar. You know, a guy that if you went back like 10 years, probably wouldn't be surprising. If you remembered his performance the last 4 or 5 years, I think it's pretty shocking what they're getting out of Profar, you know, for the price.
Yeah, they don't have the worst home record. There are other teams that have worse records. And by the way, away, I think they have the third best away record. The Yankees are 17-9. The Padres are 17-10. And then the Phillies, who I said earlier on the show, they just don't lose baseball games anymore. They're 15-6. So from a win percentage standpoint on the road, like the Phillies are just unbelievable. 17-3 in May. They're 37-14. Give me all the teams that win 100 games right now, Jason.
Well, Phillies right now, if they keep up what they're doing, I think they're gonna probably be the best team in baseball that's not the Dodgers. Dodgers, I think, hit the 100 game mark. I don't know how far they go over it. Besides that, I don't know, maybe one or two of the Yankees and the Orioles, but you know, I'm more confident in the Dodgers than the Phillies right now.
How many 100 game losers do we have?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't want to think it's going to be more than two or three, but it's not looking good. I could easily, you know, White Sox, Rockies, A's probably get us three.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Jason, congratulations on your big 3-1 cricket win. Mazel tov.
We were so wrong on the score, but
oh, we were.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Don't thank me. Thank my friend Number Runner. He's old OG from gambling Twitter. Have a good weekend, guys.
You too. At Spreadopedia, we'll come back. Take a look at some NBA curious votes next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Who's back behind the closet today? We should thank everybody who's always on
Man,
the show.
We got a full crew back there. We got Chris. We've got Matt. We've got Dakota. We've got Fenhouse is new. We got a full crew.
We would do it more, but it seems like it's different every day now, huh?
We do, yes. Yeah. We have a rotating cast.
Well, thank you to everybody that makes this show happen.
Yeah, Matt's directing every day for us, so 5 days.
Kelly Billen is just the pretty face on TV.
Matt Hicks, who did, I forgot to bring this up earlier, and I'm very mad about it now. A driver in the Indy 500 this weekend, Stingray Rob. Actual name, Stingray Rob.
His parents named him Stingray?
Apparently.
Okay.
Wikipedia didn't argue
you're,
back.
You're
so,
totally
yeah.
betting on him.
He's matched up with, I can't say this name, Pietro Fittipaldi.
Oh, God, here we go.
Stingray Rob.
I would like on Monday, you should just go through all the WTA matches in the French Open for that day.
I will, man.
This is, by the way, from Michael Montesano, who won the Circa Booby Prize, first year of Circa Millions. He said, this is a quote from Jason Weingarten. Jason was on the Unabated podcast yesterday. That's Captain Jack and Rufus's outfit over there on Unabated. I think Viola does that podcast. Yep. He says, this is a quote from Jason. I don't bet on players with neck tattoos. He was referring to Luis Gil of the Yankees and AL Rookie of the Year. And Montesano has Luis Gil at 22-1. And he's like, well, I guess that's a loser for me. Jason has all kinds of rules. So yesterday we started the show obviously talking about the Pacers and the Celtics and just what a weird game that was from just the broadcast perspective yesterday and how the Pacers just punted early on that game and no one seemed to mention it. Jaylen Brown ended up with 40, and part of the speculation today in sports media in the mainstream is, well, he was just upset and angry that he didn't make the All-NBA team, and so he vomited out 40 points. You know how that goes. But I want to give credit here to Mid-Range News. They did this whole breakdown of, like, strange NBA votes this year and who made the votes.
Getting to the Domantas Sabonis one?
I thought you'd find this curious as an NBA hardo that you are. He goes, everybody already knows about Ignacio Garcia voting.
Sabonis everything.
Domantas Sabonis, yeah. Fourth in MVP, All-NBA first team, third in Defensive Player of the Year, and All-Defensive
sure.
first team.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So here's some others you might find interesting. You ready for
that
this?
That was the one everybody was waiting for. It was like, who keeps putting Domantas Sabonis up here on everything, especially defensively?
Your answer is Ignacio Garcia.
I actually don't hate, like, the MVP vote. I don't hate. Like, remember, we did my MVP power rankings at one point.
I thought he should be in the top 10 of MVP.
But, like, you're using the what's one of the defensive things we always get angry about? It's when they count up rebounds. Like, that's a catch-all stat for defensive play. And that's the only thing you can give to Domantas Sabonis.
Stan Van Gundy, we're going to name names, was the only voter to not vote Chet Holmgren second in Rookie of the Year.
Yep,
he went with Brandon Miller. Michael Wilbon, Stephen A. Smith, Kevin Pelton, Mike Greenberg, they all voted Brandon Bajemski of the Warriors third for Rookie of the Year.
Yikes.
By the way, Bajemski was great, but third. Yeah. Wow. David Aldridge, the only voter to choose Derek Lively as the third best Rookie of the Year.
Like, that's the correct pick. that is the correct one, in my opinion.
Rod,
I don't think these are too egregious.
Let's see if we find one for you. Rod Boone of the Charlotte Observer voted Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as the second best defender in the league. Now, for some context.
This is another one like Sabonis, though. You're just counting steals. He led the league in steals.
Yeah, because he points out that, you know, versus the Mavericks, he was on P.J. Washington or Derrick Jones Jr. because the Thunder didn't want him to be on Kyrie or Luka.
Right. Yeah.
You voted him second.
He's a great two-way player. But, like, yes, he has one attribute that leads to a specific stat that jumps out, and it is steals.
Richard Jefferson also voted for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander second in Defensive Player of the Year. This is a Greek voter by the name of Tolis Kotsias. He was the only voter to choose a perimeter player as the best defender this season. He went with Drew Holiday.
I'm okay with that. That's where all defensive teams and defensive player of the year is getting difficult, because you want to go with these shot blocking bigs so much, and the perimeter defenders are so important in today's NBA, and it's very hard to compare the two these days.
Yeah. The reason I'm going through these is because I'm just trying to make the point. We bet on these things.
Yeah, right.
And so just give me a couple more here.
And like, for all the arguments we get heated about, right?
Yes.
You know, we all get heated because it's our opinion, and we all got to keep in mind our opinion doesn't matter at all, because you're trying to figure out what these people are
handicapping
thinking.
The voters, as I've said many times. So this guy, Bennett Durando, representing the Denver Post. Did you see that Grayson Allen got a point for most improved player? This guy, Bennett Durando, had Grayson Allen third for most improved player. Ah, that got Kelly. Kelly's about to blow.
I did not see this one.
Look at his shirt.
I did not see this
close
one.
Up on Kelly.
What?
Yeah, he had Grayson Allen third for most improved player. Duncan Robinson received a vote for third and most improved player. That came from Signal's Jonathan Mitchell Fuentes. Duncan Robinson got third? Oh, my God. Let me know when you're bored. This will be his last couple.
I mean, I'm not, but
this is his last couple. Gary Washburn, Ramona Shelburne, and Kendrick Perkins. When does the suit in and Perk begin? Were the three voters to rate Brunson's impact the most? They gave Brunson his 3 second-placed MVP votes.
I don't hate that. I think Brunson was the toughest guy to figure out where he should land in MVP, and I don't really have a problem if you put him anywhere from 2 to 7.
All right, last one. Shams Charania. Ignacio Garcia, who we mentioned earlier, is the DeMontis Sabonis guy.
Everybody was waiting for that one.
And Perk left Giannis off their MVP ballot. Instead, they opted for Anthony Edwards, giving him the 5th spot, whilst Michael Wilbon, as we know, remember that was the first thing I said when I saw Ant was second. I was like, that's Wilbon. He gave Ant 2nd place.
Because we brought it up the day before. Yeah.
One person had him 3rd, and another, Dennis Scott, had him 4th.
A little respect for Wilbon, though. Like, he said it. Like, you know, he said it, yeah. wrote it in, like, stood by what he put down there.
Yeah.
Giannis should have been in your top 5. Criminal if Giannis wasn't in your top 5.
Of all those, which is the one that bothers you the most?
I'd have to go back and check some numbers, but Grayson Allen being 3rd and most improved, that one's up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the Sabonis one, like, everybody was like, this is clearly one person. Like, this has got to be one person that keeps doing this with every award. Because you're talking multiple different awards.
like he's Barry Lamar Bonds.
Right, yeah.
I gotta put him in everything.
I mean, like, I get it, Sacramento. Like, I get it. You don't get the respect you deserve. You don't get, as a city, as the franchise, for sure.
Maybe,
Sabonis has been awesome.
Maybe
but, like,
he's just a real fan of double-doubles.
I mean, yeah, he clearly was.
Yeah.
That means defensive player of the year. You didn't know that?
He goes, that's me.
Double-doubles.
Like, it's good for defensive player of the year. Most improved, everything they voted for. All right, tonight, game 2, Mavericks, T-Wolves. Mavs up 1-0 in this series. T-Wolves are favored by 5. Totals 207. You're a Mavericks guy. Let's just say that again. You've got Mavericks futures.
Do you want me to I'm going to separate my brain from
yes,
from,
take
from
your brain out of that.
My tickets away.
Out of that Oz Perlman,
yes.
Inability
uncrackable
to.
Safe.
Uncrackable safe that it is, yes.
I would have hammered Timberwolves 4.5 when this opened.
Oh, you would have gone the other way because you were on the Mavericks game 1.
Yes.
Oh. Did you hammer
it? At open at 4.5, I would have bet Minnesota, but I am. I shouldn't say hammer. I would have bet it. But I think after game 1, I think you and I broke it down pretty well. Both teams can sit there going into this game tonight and say, we got things that we know we can be better at,
yes,
going in. So Minnesota, I think's got more of those. But, man, like everybody said, and I agree with this, everybody said, okay, if Dallas wins this series, it's going to be because Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic look like the two best players in the series. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that to continue. I really don't. They're going to have big games. But them only making 6 threes, that's not going to happen, especially when they're going to adjust. Minnesota's going to adjust to some of the pick-and-roll stuff. You're going to see some of those corner threes that were open the Oklahoma City series are going to open back up, I would bet, tonight. You're not going to have the three-pointers come from such higher up on the arc. For Minnesota, though, like, I mean, I don't think they brought it up enough on the broadcast or afterward where Anthony Edwards was exhausted and disappeared in the second half of that game.
I brought it up purposely yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
Just gassed.
And I'm glad we keep talking about it because it is He'll be back. He'll bounce back. I don't know if that was seven games with Denver, Gil. I don't know if it was first half where he was probably came out and put a little too much effort into guarding Kyrie Irving and didn't realize how exhausted he was going to get. But, I mean, he basically played himself out of the game last time. I don't expect that to continue. Karl Anthony Towns has been too good this postseason for him to have as bad of a game as he did game one. So I would expect Minnesota to look pretty sharp tonight.
Absolutely nothing would surprise me tonight. And as far as the Pacers and the Celtics, it's just a information race to see if you can get Halliburton news and get to a book before they adjust.
What a shame.
Absolutely, what a shame. If he is unable to go, we'll see. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic next on the radio side. Best Bets next on the picture side. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.